He went back to the mudroom and returned with two of the jars and an old blue enameled pan. He wiped out the pan and dipped it full and used it to clean the jars. Then he reached down and sank one of the jars till it was full and raised it up dripping. The water was so clear. He held it to the light, a single bit of sediment coiling in the jar on some slow hydraulic axis. He tipped the jar and drank, and he drank slowly, but still he drank nearly the whole jar. He sat there with his stomach bloated. He could have drunk more, but he didn't. He poured the remaining water into the other jar and rinsed it out, and he filled both jars, and then let down the wooden cover over the cistern and rose. And with his pockets full of apples and carrying the jars of water, he set out across the fields toward the pine wood. He was gone longer than he'd meant to be, and he hurried his steps the best he could, the water swinging and gurgling in the shrunken swag of his gut. He stopped to rest and began again. When he got to the woods, the boy didn't look as if he'd even stirred, and he knelt and set the jars carefully in the duff and picked up the pistol and put it in his belt. And then he just sat there, watching him. They spent the afternoon sitting wrapped in the blankets and eating apples, sipping the water from the jars. He took the packet of grape flavor from his pocket and opened it and poured it into the jar and stirred it and gave it to the boy.
"You did good, Papa," he said.
He slept while the boy kept watch, and in the evening they got out their shoes and put them on and went down to the farmhouse and collected the rest of the apples. They filled three jars with water and screwed on the two-piece caps from a box of them he'd found on a shelf in the mudroom. Then he packed everything into the knapsack wrapped in one of the blankets, and he tied the other blankets across the top of the knapsack and shouldered it. They stood in the door watching the light draw down over the world to the west. Then they went down the drive and set out upon the road again. The boy hung on to his coat, and he kept to the edge of the road and tried to feel out the pavement under his feet in the dark. In the distance, he could hear thunder, and after a while, there were dim shudderings of light ahead of them. He got out the plastic sheeting from the knapsack, but there was hardly enough of it left to cover them, and after a while, it began to rain. They stumbled along side by side. There was nowhere to go. They had the hoods of their coats up, but the coats were getting wet and heavy from the rain. He stopped in the road and tried to rearrange the tarp. The boy was shaking badly. "You're freezing, aren't you?"
"Yes."
"If we stop, we'll get really cold."
"I'm really cold now."
"What do you want to do?"
"Can we stop?"
"Yes." "Okay, we can stop." It was as long a night as he could remember out of a great plenty of such nights. They lay on the wet ground by the side of the road under the blankets with the rain rattling on the tarp, and he held the boy, and after a while he stopped shaking, and after a while he slept. The thunder trundled away to the north and ceased, and there was just the rain. He slept and woke, and the rain slackened, and after a while it stopped. He wondered if it was even midnight. He was coughing, and it got worse, and it woke the child. The dawn was a long time coming. He raised up from time to time to look to the east, and after a while, it was day.